it, but no problem. No problem. Hey, who did we talk about last Sunday night? Does anybody remember? My. Damn. Do you remember a man named Epaphras? What was significant about Epaphras? Somebody tell me. Why is he even mentioned in the Bible? Why is this guy talked about? Epaphras. Oh, he was praying for the people. Well, that's one way of putting it. This guy, according to Paul, Epaphras was a believer that Paul referred to as my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Paul goes on to say and bring out that he was a believer who fervently labored. So it's much more than he just prayed. He put something behind it. He fervently labored and it goes on and toiled in prayer for his dear people in Colossae. He prayed this one thing in particular that he prayed for, and it was that they, the people of Colossae, and I'm going to extend it to the people of Harvest Christian Assembly and Myrtle Creek, that they might be perfect and complete in all the will of God. In other words, that they might know the complete and full will of God and do it perfectly. The only way, church, that we're ever going to know what the will of God is to get to know God. To spend that amount of time, that time with God, that in prayer and in His Word, I hear you, Lord. I hear you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you begin to have that close fellowship like Epaphras had with Paul. Because the reality is it boils down to this. When we ask casually, with little effort to focus our minds on the Lord, it shows that we really don't really value what it is we're praying for. Can I tell you something? When somebody gets a bad report from the doctor, their prayers change. The way I pray changes all of a sudden because now I've got this bad report from the doctor. The doctor says, hey, you know what? It ain't looking good. We saw this spot, you know, and we're going to have to check that out. We're going to have to look a little closer and somebody else comes and they do another deal and they do another test and yeah, we still see the spot and you go home with the idea that you might have some form of cancer or some other kind of a disease, whatever that may be, and all of a sudden you go from, Lord, please heal me. To like what happened this morning when Debbie came and bent down and kneeled here and just began to weep at this altar, began to cry out. Because when we get that kind of a report, it changes something. And all of a sudden, I've got something driving my prayer life. God, I want to be healed. And when we highly prize or value something, we will search for it with all of our heart. Aren't you glad that Jesus said in one of His parables that He leaves the 99 sheep to go and search for the one? Because you are highly prized. Every one of us are highly prized. You have great and significant value to the kingdom. Some of us may feel like our worth and our value isn't that great. I mean, really, Pastor, what do I have to offer the kingdom of God, let alone this church? Well, I'll tell you. Your life you can give to the Lord. Your life you can give to this church and to this ministry, and you can seek the Lord and find out what it is that He has planned, because every one of us has, He has a plan for you. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. In other words, He's going to keep working. He started a work in you. Every one of us are still under construction. At 92 years old, sir, you're still under construction. He's still working on you. He's still refining you. He's still doing some things in your life, Mike. He's still working some of those little idiosyncrasies out that you battled years ago. And He's working them out. And he's refining you and I. Mike's going, why is He picking on me? Because you're just so dang cute. I don't know about the rest of you, but I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again here before I move on, but I feel like I need to step up my prayer life a bunch. A bunch. Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I want to talk tonight, I want to launch into and get started on talking about looking at prayer through wholehearted devotion. It's safe to say that Epaphras had wholehearted devotion. He was devoted not only to the Apostle Paul, but he was devoted to the people of Colossae. His desire, everything that moved him and drove him was to see them come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, that's what drives me. I want to see Jesus lifted up in Myrtle Creek, Oregon. The enemy has had control of this piece of real estate for far too long. And I believe with all of my heart that God is about to do something great in Myrtle Creek, Oregon. And He needs you and I to be on board with that. He needs to have you and I be ready to join the ranks and begin to march out like He's called us to. It's going to take wholehearted devotion. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12 paints a very powerful and yet beautiful picture of a wholehearted believer, one who fears the Lord with honor and with reverence, walks in His way, loves Him, and serves Him wholeheartedly. How many of you tonight would like for that to be what describes you? Man, I want that, Lord. I want to be somebody that fears the Lord, that is wholehearted, that fears with honor and with reverence, walking in Your ways, loves You and serves You. And absolutely, I mean, the whole idea behind the fast that so many of us have been on since January 1st is to say to my flesh, shut up and line up. Shut up and line up. Flesh has been in control for too long. Do you know that I've learned in the last 21 days, I don't have to have a half a gallon of coffee every day. I don't have to have that. I don't have to have sugar and pizza and bread and all this other. I don't have to have. I'm still doing pretty good. I've not touched any. I've not ate an egg. I've not had any kind of animal products. I love milk. I haven't had a glass of milk. Nothing. Just rabbit food. But it's in order to get this flesh to line up. It's not in control anymore. I heard it said this morning that eating is a pastime in America. And it truly is. How many times do we get together and not eat? We just don't. Hey, you coming over? Yeah, I'll put something on. Oh, great. That's just what we do. And yeah, let's go for a drive. Well, let's stop out there at the Freeway Chevron and get, 17 chicken wings and, people are covering their faces like I just told on them or something. and get a float. I mean, they're only, what, $2? $2 for a float that big. It has a gallon and a half ice cream in it and a quart of pop. $2. Let's go. And I wonder why I look like I look. Church, we got to get this flesh under control. We've got to begin to honor and reverence the Lord. You know what? I'll just shut up. Don't you dare. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13 says this, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of His ways and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, and to keep His commandments, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you today for your good." Do you know that it would do us good? It's for our own good, church, to follow the precepts of the Bible. It's for our own good. It's not just some law, some set of regulations that we've got to religiously and rigidly stick to. It's not something to punish us. It's for our own good. He wants to keep us out of trouble. Oftentimes we ask the question, well, what does God expect of me? What does He expect? And so Moses gives a summary of that simple, that's simple in form, and it's easy to remember. Here's the essentials. Number one, fear God. Fear God. In other words, have reverence for God. Reverence Him. Do you know I was in a courtroom, like 3 weeks ago, I was in a court, I was there to be a witness, do you know when the judge walks in, everybody stands up. When the president of the United States walks into a building, you know what happens? Everybody stands up. When Jesus walks in the building, I'll just move on. We ought to honor Him. We ought to reverence Him. We ought to stand to our feet. Amen? Fear God. Have reverence for Him. Number two, live in a way that pleases Him. Pleasing Him and pleasing the world and our flesh are two entirely different things. It cracks me up every time I look over there. Mike told those kids to bring their swords tonight. That little gripper took him at his word, man. He's got his sword right on his side. He's ready for battle. I love it. We ought to all come dressed like that, church. We ought to all come dressed just like that with our sword. I love it. Live in a way that pleases Him. Number three, love Him. Love Him. And I'm not talking about just giving lip service. I'm talking about demonstrating our love for the Lord. And number four, we should serve Him with all of our heart and all of our soul. What could you do to serve the Lord? Obey Him is a good one. That's good, Anthony. Number five. Obey His commands. That's where 90% of the church falls apart. Because oftentimes, I'll get in trouble for this, but I don't care. We act like spoiled kids. Sometimes we act like little spoiled little 3 years olds that didn't get their way. You know, you're not my mama. Boy, you didn't say that when I was growing up. You did not say that to your neighbor. Right, Judy? I ain't even going to look at you. Yeah, you're not the boss of me. Well, when you're at their house, you are. We need to learn to obey His commands. How often we we complicate faith with man-made rules, with man-made regulations and man-made requirements. Have you ever been frustrated and burned out just trying hard to please God? Can I tell you, if you get frustrated and burned out trying to please God, you're going at it the wrong way. You're going about it completely wrong, because His ways aren't that way. Concentrate on His real requirements, and when you do, you'll find peace. He's looking for respect. And He's wanting us to follow and love and serve and obey. And loving obedience to the Lord is the key to every blessing in life. Loving obedience. As parents, we would never have to spank our children. Did I say spank? Spank. Spank, that's the word I was looking for. Yeah, you know, we would never have to do that if they would do this, if they would just lovingly be obedient and obey when we tell them to do something. Right? Wouldn't have to. Jesus often repeated truths that He had already shared. And so Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 1, "For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe." Why? Because Paul is reminding them of the things that they need to hear. Sometimes you'll hear me say things over and over and over. Different scriptures, you'll hear it over and over. Why? Because I want you to remember it. I want it to sink in. Amen? It's not that there's not anything else in the Bible to talk about. It's just there's some things that are pertinent for that moment and for that day, and God wants it delivered. Not everybody listening gets the message the first time. And some who do might forget it. I said it this morning. Oftentimes the sermons don't make it past the parking lot. People forget them. The Jewish people, they didn't carry little pocket Bibles like you and I. They didn't have a cell phone. They didn't have iPads. They had to depend on their memory, and so repetition was important. It's important to be reminded. See, Tam, this is a biblical principle that I'm talking about. So when you have to tell me over and over to put my shoes away or whatever, it's a biblical principle. So you're being godly when I don't put my shoes. Anyway, nice try, but that ain't going to work, is it? So let me close with this. The sequence of the five imperatives is significant. Number one, fear. We've got to learn to have a fear of the Lord. We have to have a fear. Not I'm scared of Him, but a reverent fear, a godly fear of the Lord. Number two, we have to begin to walk in His ways. We have to walk. We have to love Him. We have to serve Him. And we have to keep what He has told us to do over and over. The fear of the Lord is that reverential awe that we owe Him simply because He's God and He's our Lord. And like I said this morning, look back at the pit that He has pulled us out of. Look at the mess in life that He's redeemed us out of and set us free. Amen. I'm already out of time, but we're gonna get back into this next Sunday, Lord willing, and talk about this some more. But I just want to challenge you, church, to pray with wholehearted devotion, seeking the Lord. I mean, if we prayed for people this morning that, you know, your brother-in-law, you know, Dennis. What a tragic disease to be the possibility of having. ALS it's a horrible disease. Lou Gehrig's, it's horrible. It's a horrible disease. Church, we need to pray for him. We need to bombard heaven on his behalf. Amen? Glenda's brother, Irene's son, David, He's got this esophagus. He can only drink stuff. He can't eat anything. He can't get any food down his esophagus because there's stuff in it, and I don't know all that there is, but it's a mess. He needs to be set free. He needs to be healed. We have a God that heals. He's still in the healing business today. Isn't that right? Huh? Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Huh? Woo! Your esophagus too, right? Yeah. Isn't that amazing? What He did for you, He'll do for others. I believe that. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we are so really humbled, I think, is the word tonight, that not only of Your presence in this place, but God, just the very fact that You're here with us, that You love us, that you're still working on us, Lord. Father, I just pray, God, tonight that You would challenge Your people, God, to worship You, to serve You, to seek Your face, and all that that entails, Lord. And I pray that You would walk with us this week, God. I pray that You'd be with the grief share on Tuesday night and with Bill and Tabitha, Lord, as they lead that fantastic group and Darlene and all the helpers that He has, Lord, and that they're really affording a ministry to people that are desperate oftentimes and without hope. And they can come into a safe place and grieve and have someone there to care for them. And Lord, I pray for Wednesday night, God, that You'd fill this place again on Wednesday night with people that have the desire to be made disciples, to be able to take the Word of God outside of these four walls and begin to share it with other people. And then again, Lord, for Thursday morning for the women's meeting, and then Thursday night for our choir worship practice, and Friday night for men only, God. Lord, and then Sunday again, just God, fill this house and prepare hearts from the north and the south and the east and the west to come into this place. God, draw them by Your Spirit. And Father, we'll just be careful to give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Watch over Your flock, Lord. Keep us safe this week and bring us back together. And we'll worship You and praise You and serve You in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. These altars are open. If you'd like to come and spend a few minutes praying, come on up.